If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, where we have been studying information which is given to us about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will witness so faithfully during the tribulation period. In Revelation 14, we find them gathered in the presence of the Lord. And we said, in this scene, there is revealed seven facts about them which should be of interest to us. We did not have time to look at all of the seven. We will not have time to review everything we said about the five facts that we did notice. But to make a continuity of thought and purpose, we are going to mention the things which we have already noticed about them. The first thing that we noticed about them was recorded in the first verse, and that was that they had a seal in their foreheads. The seal was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. We noticed the second thing about them in this portion of the Word of God that is of interest to us when we are told in verse 3 that these 144,000 had a special privileged place in that they were able to sing a song that no one else was able to sing because they were redeemed from the earth. Heavenly creatures standing about could not sing that song because they did not know redemption's power or redemption's glory. The third thing that we noticed about them was found in the last statement of the third verse, where we were told that they were purchased out of the earth. They were redeemed, and they were standing in the presence of God as the first fruits of the tribulation period, their standing settled and complete. Verse 4 mentions the fourth thing about these 144,000. It tells us that they were celibate. That is, they were virgins. They were wholly dedicated to the cause which they represented. We suggested to you that this does not mean that there is anything wrong with the institution of marriage. Rather, it suggests that these individuals were so dedicated to their task, they did not have time for this special privilege. The fifth thing that we noticed about them, we found in verse 4 as well. We read in verse 4, "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." We suggested to you that on the surface this might not seem particularly significant, but we discovered as we examined the word follow that actually it means to accompany, and these 144,000 are represented as an honor guard for the Lord Jesus Christ. We said to you that we do know that salvation is God's free gift, and nothing that anybody can do can merit it. We accept it because of the goodness of God. But, we said as well, we recognize from the teaching of the Word of God that there are degrees of rewards, and there are privileged positions in heaven that are given to individuals because of their faithful service. We are led to believe then, from this particular verse of Scripture, that because these 144,000 people carried on the task which they carried on at this particular time in the tribulation, under the trying conditions which they served, they are given a special privilege. They are an honor guard for the Lord Jesus Christ, and may accompany him whithersoever he goes. If you will keep in mind that eventually the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, you can understand the reason for such an honor guard and the place that it will have. Now, also in verse 4, we find the sixth thing which is told us about these 144,000. We read, "These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." Now, this may seem like a repetition of the third thing we suggested to you in the last part of verse 3, where we said these were redeemed from the earth. But the emphasis in this instance is not placed upon the redemption of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Rather, it is placed upon the fact that they were the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Now, the word first fruits is a word used in the Word of God to describe a number of spiritual victories. Will you turn with me, please, to the Epistle of James to notice the exact meaning of this word, first fruits, so that you will be able to understand exactly what reference the Holy Spirit is making to it here in the book of the Revelation. In James chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Now, let us stop our reading right there for the moment, for we are interested primarily in the truth presented in verse 18. We are told that we who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this age of grace are the first, spiritually speaking, of all living creatures. We are the first to be saved, so to speak, since God's plan of redemption went into effect. If you should take the time to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, you would find reference to this matter of the first fruits. Again, this time, the first fruits of the resurrection. When we go back to Revelation chapter 14 and read that these 144,000 were the first fruits of God, we are reminded that they are the first people to be saved during the tribulation period. Immediately after the church is taken out of the world and the tribulation begins, these people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they are the first fruits of the people to be saved during the tribulation. Immediately they give a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. Now, the seventh and the last thing that is said about these 144,000 is presented in the fifth verse of Revelation 14. There we read, "And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." That is, in their midst is found no lying and no deceit. They are without blemish before the throne. That may not seem too significant to you at the moment, but if you will keep in mind that the tribulation, as we have already learned, is going to be marked by lying and deceit, and that the greatest lie of all is going to be perpetrated by the false prophet about the Antichrist in Revelation 13. We can see why special attention is drawn to the fact that these individuals have no deceit in their mouths. You can depend upon what they say. They are without blemish before the throne of God. And so we have come to the first instance in the book of the Revelation where something that has begun has been completed. The work of the 144,000 has been completed, and they are in the presence of God. But God is not without a witness. Keep that in mind, for we will be thinking about it in future lessons.